Episode 458, December 30th, 2019.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
This is The Robin Joe Show.
2 minutes until showtime.
A f***ing great show.
Listening to The Robin Joe Show.
Robbie Robinson does not get enough credit.
The Robin Joe Show, my two favorite guys.
You're listening to The Robin Joe Show.
Do you feel lucky? Do you
punk? The Robin Joe Show.
I've worked with Rob and Joe before, and they do an amazing job.
Go back on that Rob and Joe show.
The Rob and Joe show.
The Rob and Joe show is my favorite.
Rob Mayer, Joe Robinson, here they
are. Please, secure your belongings. Keep your arms and legs inside the car at all times. And remain seated until the ride comes to a complete stop. Now, here's Rob Mayer and Joe Robinson.
Monday! Yes, it's Monday! I'm waiting all week, and as it's time for Robin Joe Chat Room Monday! It's 7:30, that's when I hear live Robin Joe. Done with Monday! Oh, it's been a hard day, thank God it's time for Robin Joe.
Are we recording?
Yeah, we're recording.
It's our last show of the decade, Joe Robinson.
Yeah, we were downstairs talking about what we were going to talk about, top biggest events of the decade. And when I started thinking about the biggest events of my life, a lot of them are bad. Right? Aging 10 years is bad.
Well, that's not an event.
Turning 50?
Okay, but that's every decade you get 10 years older.
No, you're right about that. But don't you think that turning 20 is good and turning 30, but turning 40 is horrible, and turning 50 is even worse.
Well, no, because the alternative is that you died this decade.
No, yeah, I get it. It's like, oh, you ate a turd. Well, it's better than eating two turds. Well, no, I mean, that's not really how I view the world, right?
But you can't call that an event.
Oh, I definitely think turning 50, would you say that, remember when they had the, what was it called, the millennium or whatever, when year 2000 came?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that was an event. The fact that in this decade, we hit a second thousandth year.
Okay.
I mean, that's a big deal, right?
Yeah. So turning 50, was that monumental of you, that when you think of this past decade, that immediately comes to mind? By the way, we don't have Robbie tonight. It's a long story, but...
Robbie, this has never happened, by the way. Robbie's always available, although he claims to be the busiest of all of us.
I'm a little stressed now. Our New Year's Eve murder mystery is tomorrow night, and if Robbie's...
He
usually likes to get there, 9 hours early.
He might be working late so he can be able to be there early tomorrow.
That's probably true.
But I will say this at my, my day job.
Yeah.
By the way, I hate it's killing me.
I know,
job.
I can see that.
It's
You're
killing
sick.
Me.
It's just...
Well, I don't think me being sick has anything to do with that. Although, I will say I'm having difficulty getting better because
You never catch up on sleep.
Well, I'm also sick, so I can't sleep. But then I'm like, all right, let me get some rest. No, you have to go sit out in the rain for 3.5 hours, which is what I did when I did the Ravens.
Yeah, that had to be miserable.
Yeah, I also...
So we're jumping around here on top of
whatever.
So
I mean, this is year end. This is... By the way, if you listen to like a radio show, like you got like Justin Scott and Spiegel, they always play best of during this week or the last week.
Yeah. We used to have best ofs, then we stopped doing that.
Well, you know what I found out? When they're playing best of, I don't listen.
Hmm.
Isn't it weird? I'd rather hear what could potentially be best of than what they determined to be the best of.
I know, I get it. There's something about it's happening right now.
Yeah. But the station actually has been a lot more fun because most of the breaks are about the Ravens.
Yeah.
And the Ravens are very good at professional football.
That's easy to talk about right now. All right, well, let's go over this. It's the end of the decade. Now, I guess, did we start what year? We started the Robin Joe Show.
Well, I was still married.
2011?
I think it was 2011. Yeah, 11, right.
So that's we started. So is because we're talking about what's our Mount Rushmore of our of personal decade.
I remember the first episode we talked about Casey Anthony. Remember that?
Yeah. Was that the big murder trial of the decade still?
Man.
Trayvon Martin, the George Zimmerman, that was big.
Yeah, that might be bigger than because that was more of a cultural event. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Excuse me. The Black Lives Matter movement came from that.
Yeah, but we had a mother killing their kid. That's pretty...
Yeah, but that I guarantee you that happens every day. That's the problem.
I think every day is that's a stretch.
You don't think there's 365 mothers killing their children in a year?
I do not.
Yeah, I think you're wrong about that.
Okay.
I mean, every time I just watched Live PD, there was some little girl. Mm-hmm. She was out in the marsh. Her parents hadn't reported her missing. They were just sitting in their
we could Google
trailer.
It.
Yeah, you do that while I'm afraid to touch anything. Oh, yeah. We had so much difficulty. how many moms kill their kids in a year? What would I even Google? How many
average
children?
You can even do just parents. I'll give you
children
either
are killed
by parents a year.
Killed by parents. It didn't auto-populate each year, but that's not good. Guns definitely did because people want to make points. It's called it even has a word, filicide. Yeah. Oh, my God. 450 children are murdered by their parents each year in the United States.
There you go. You got it right.
Hey, I know my child murder. Don't ever test me on that again.
Don't children kill their parents? Is that at a more alarming rate?
Well, let's take a look.
This is the weirdest end of the decade wrap-up show ever.
How many parents...
Those of you listening at home, feel free to guess right now.
...are killed by their children...
Which is higher? Parents killing children or children killing parents?
So...
Menendez brothers.
Children, yeah. And that little girl who the mother... what was it? She had like some sort of... Where she kept her sick or made people think she was sick.
Yeah.
Anyway, here we go. So 450, this is called filicide, is when parents kill their kids.
Yep.
You think it's got to be more... Hey. Oh, no. It still says 450. Nah, I'm still...
You're still on filicide?
Yeah, it really wants to keep going back to filicide.
So how do we get talking about that?
I don't know.
Oh, the trials of the murders?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. Casey Anthony.
No, the trial of the century was... It's either...
Oh, the decade.
The decade, right? Trial of the century is O.J. Simpson. Sorry.
Yes.
Sorry.
Lindbergh, baby.
Sorry, Scopes Monkey. Sorry, all that stuff. That's O.J.
OJ.
Because there was television.
Of course.
That's the reason. And everybody knows where they were when they read the verdict.
Yes, it was on TV. Because, like, the Cosby trial was not on TV.
Are there any people that still think OJ is innocent?
Yes.
How many? What percentage?
I bet you 5% of people that have paid attention to it, that have an opinion on it, still think that.
Huh. 5%? 5 out of it? 1 out of every 20?
Of people that actually have an opinion, yes.
All right. Like, I'll go, yeah.
Yeah.
Because there's
still
people,
way too high.
There's people like J.L. Covan that won't view common sense. Yeah, so you're right. I don't think he thinks O.J.'s innocent,
no,
though. I could ask him. If he did, it wouldn't surprise me.
What do you think is more prevalent, O.J.'s innocent or flat earth? O.J.
innocent. Oh, O.J. innocent is way more. Yeah, because there's globes everywhere.
All right.
People are like, oh, well, that's... Obviously, it's round. There's a statue of it.
What do you think's more prevalent, flat Earth or people have the ability to move objects like Jedi's?
Well, the people that can actually do it?
They think that that's possible. That maybe we haven't tapped into it yet, but it is within our abilities somehow to stick our hand out and focus on a glass and bring it to you.
I don't even know where to start because usually I'm like, oh, well. There's a bunch of people that thought O.J. was innocent. I don't know where they are now. But I remember that there was a lot of people.
Oh, it's going down every year.
Yeah. There's people right now that think Bill Cosby's innocent. By the way, he's not innocent. He was found guilty.
Yes.
They think he was wrongly convicted.
Yeah. Well, that's a little more of a blurred, I don't mean to use a pun there, with the drugs he was using. But it's less clear. As a person who's dead, there's obviously a crime.
I think as far as like conspiracies go... I think it happens more often than I think that it does,
mm-hmm.
But it doesn't happen that much. Because here's why. You tell one person, you watch Succession, right?
Yes.
Remember when they were going to do what's called a bear hug? Remember they were going to do, spoiler alert, season two. I'm talking
okay.
about season one.
All right.
remember they were going to do the bear hug to Roy Logan? They were going to try to take over, they were doing a hostile
yes.
takeover?
Okay. Yes.
He told one person.
Yep, too many.
He told one person. Frank, mm-hmm. the lawyer, he told one person, next thing you know, he got a call from a news media outlet.
Blows up.
Yeah, so the idea that even four people are going to know, it's going to get out. You can't.
Yes.
Yeah, so I'm not a big conspiracy guy.
All right.
You know who shot Kennedy?
Oh, well, that is the greatest conspiracy of all time, right?
Yeah, Lee Harvey Oswald shot him. The guy in the tower, yes.
Acting alone?
That's right, he shot him.
I think more people don't think he acted alone than do.
I'll bet most people don't even know who that is.
No, I think most people think there's more to it than just some lunatic acting alone.
Yeah, I will say that now, with ballistics and DNA and science and all that stuff, then it'd be much less likely that they wouldn't get to the bottom of things, in my opinion. I mean, you know.
What was the big tragedy of the decade? Because we didn't have a 9/11. We didn't have a Kennedy. Mm-hmm. We didn't have a space shuttle blowing up. We had a lot of shootings.
We're
going to
miss something big, and we're going to get
We had a lot of shootings. We had the Vegas shooting. We had the
that
nightclub.
That Vegas one was bad.
The nightclub in Orlando, the gay nightclub shooting.
Well, I remember the one.
We didn't have a Columbine. That's longer, right? We didn't have
Oklahoma City. When was Sandy Hook? When was that?
Yeah, now we're getting maybe.
Yeah, whenever children are murdered, that's always. But I don't know. We're missing a huge one.
Yeah,
by
we
the
could
way.
Look all this up.
And we're going to get. We'll get destroyed.
We need the chat tonight to tell us we're wrong. What our personal Mount Rushmore is like? You got divorced this decade, and you met a woman and got married this decade.
That's
pretty big.
Here's my Mount Rushmore of events.
Mm-hmm. These are good and bad. Just things that
we're just doing four.
Yeah, sure.
The four
you can give some of the ones that just missed too.
So the four biggest things that happened in my life, like, for example, like doing the Ravens pregame, that's not one of them.
Okay. But that's clearly...
Lamar Jackson's not one of them.
No. That doesn't count.
Let me think. Yeah, I mean, for me, it's my divorce.
Yes.
My marriage.
Yes.
My dog.
Huh.
And the murder mystery.
Okay.
Those are the four biggest events of the decade for me.
So you're...
And by the way,
not the podcast.
Can
not
I say
the Ravens.
No? And even two of my kids graduated from high school in this decade. But I'm telling you, I mean,
what,
I
are they not
going to
graduate
that's
high
the thing
school?
I mean, honestly, you know, people get there. Yeah, they start screaming when their kids graduate. I'm like, I expect you to graduate from high school. Okay, it's pretty fucking easy to graduate from high school.
You have to really fuck up to not do it.
To not make it out of high school.
Yeah,
yeah, that's insane.
All right, so I guess I have to go. I mean, we're on the same page with the murder mystery, but I mean, I moved in with Tawanda.
Yeah, that's
so
huge.
That's huge.
And the house, she bought the house. Is
yes.
That, are you combining that?
I don't know.
Her cat died. Does that?
I mean, that's for her. No, I mean, I got on the Heart of the City, Comedy Central, Kevin Hart. That was big. I think my relationship with Koechner is big.
Yeah, it is.
Mm-hmm.
You're right.
So I'd have to say Tawanda and I's relationship growing, the murder mystery, Comedy Central, and Koechner.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, that's probably it. I'm trying to think if there's anything else.
I mean, my Tiffany Haddish relationship has also happened, but...
It did, but you can't have everything in there,
no.
Right? And the Koechner relationship, it has definitely provided you more money.
Yes.
It's also provided you more status because if it's frequency, right?
Yes, yes.
And you do have a good relationship with a working relationship with Tiffany Haddish, but you're not calling her to shoot the shit.
Correct.
So that friendship... And, you know, it's funny because I remember when back in the day, my home club was the Baltimore Comedy Factory. My home club is now, I'm not a stand up anymore. I don't do it. So my home club is Magoobies where we do our murder mystery. Right. That's my home club. And the way that I was, and you do the same thing, the way that I was able to get in, and I used to work, this is no exaggeration. I bet I did 10 shows a year at the Baltimore Comedy Factory in the height of
10 weeks.
Because
weekends,
because Mickey did about 7 weekends.
Yeah,
and then I'd get like a Christmas or something. They call me in randomly.
I was about the same back in the last decade. Yeah, at least 6 to 10. Yeah.
And here's what I remember about that. So back then, it used to pay $100 a show.
Yeah,
and when you featured, and there were 7 shows. There was a Thursday night. There were 3 Friday night, and there were 3 Saturday night.
Which is super rare. It's usually 2 Friday, 2 Saturday.
So that means every single time I worked there, I got $700.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I mean, you did $7,000 that I got out of one club.
Yeah.
And that was it was huge, right?
Yeah.
That was gigantic. So that was, but what the way that I got in with that club is, first of all, I was funny.
Uh-huh. That's where we met, the comedy thing.
Right, yeah. And yes, I was green as grass then. And I remember your buddy there was there with the birthmark with you.
Mike Heiss.
Yeah, he was there too. Anyway. Be funny, and then make actual friendships, right? You follow what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, not these tertiary no. Be friends with the people. They're happy to see you. You see all the waitresses, you see the bartenders, you see the doormen, and you make real friendships with them.
You're part of the family.
And then if you do that, and you do that at the improv, I see that.
Yes.
Yeah, where you have real relationships with those people, and that's how you get in. Now, should it be that way? No, I don't think that it should. I think it should be part of it, right? You want to work with people that you mm-hmm. that you care about. But I think what should happen is the club has a responsibility to cultivate local talent, right? They do. I think they have a responsibility.
Absolutely.
And I think McGoobies does that.
Yes, they do a much better job of that.
I don't think the Baltimore Comedy Factory does that.
No, they just whatever's easiest to just...
I like Alabama. He's the MC there, but they only use one MC. I would say probably most of the time the act brings their own feature, you know?
Yes.
And they have a stable of what, like three or four comics that they might feature, but probably is going to be Alabama too.
There's no one that is that great at comedy that should be the house MC. Because if they are that prolific with material, they wouldn't be the house MC. They'd be moving on and headlining and doing things.
Well, it's not, again, that's one thing that, and listen, I love Chip. I love Chip, and he left the Comedy Factory, but I know he's involved again in some way.
Okay.
But Andrew Unger at McGoobies is really the one who says he cares about diversifying the shows. He wants to make sure that females get opportunities. He wants to make sure that he has the local professionals, or what do you call it? Not local professionals, the open mic companies, or whatever they call it. Mm-hmm. Hey, you know, people that won that? Stavros Halkias from Cumtown. It's probably the fourth most profitable comedy podcast in the United States.
Shane Gillis.
Mm-hmm. Who was almost on SNL. Yeah. I mean, there's some huge names that went through there. And because I was looking at them, I'm like, man, that's a pretty good little
this
stable.
This guy, Daquan LeKirk. I know him, but he's gotten some TV spots.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, there's some credibility there. Now, back in the day, man, we're
all over it.
Yeah. Back in the day, people that won the Baltimore Comedy Factories, Mark Voice, Eric Myers, there were some really good names that won it. But now, I used to run that competition.
I came in second the first year they made second, no money.
No, that's not true. Because I lost to, any other time I'd remember this guy's name, fuck.
Oh, I remember.
I finished second as well. Mm-hmm. By the way, they called you up.
Yeah, to get nothing.
To get nothing. They called you up. I'm like, just don't call me, right? But, I'm mad I can't remember that guy's name. But I also finished second. But I remember you finished second to Larry Poon.
Yes.
Yes.
Who now doesn't do comedy.
Who doesn't do comedy anymore.
At least the guy that you came in second still does comedy.
Yeah, what was that guy's name?
I forget his name.
It's going to occur to me as well.
Let's take a break.
Yeah, good first segment.
God, we've really gotten better 10 years into this. Rob and Joe should be right back.
Love and marriage, go together like a horse and carriage. These two plan to be wed. It's too bad someone will drop dead.
We're having a wedding and you're all invited. Die Laughing Productions presents Love and Marriage and Murder. It's the bride and groom's big day. Bells will ring, the sun will shine. They'll love until the end of time. The end indeed, because this is a murder mystery, a wedding whodunit. Can you solve it and live happily ever after? Love and Marriage and Murder stars me, 98 Rock's Justin Schlegel, Joe and Katie Robinson, the real-life newlyweds, and all your favorite Die Laughing Productions performers. But the real stars of the show are all you, the wedding crashers in the audience. We have audience roles available for willing volunteers. The rest of you could sit back, laugh, and enjoy a wedding day ruined by an untimely death, and maybe help solve a whodunit.
Two shows, February 14th at McGoobie's Joke House in Timonium, Maryland. For more information, go to DieLaughingProductions.com. Tickets are available right now.
Want to thank you, Mac Bergson. He's our P1, our super listener. A nice little card, little Christmas present.
He got me a birthday present.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, it involved wolves. He doesn't like me mentioning what he gets me.
Fair enough.
I don't know why that is, but I'm going to respect that. But it was cool.
He's very kind. We also shout out to you know Jim Amato and Marcus Serta for all their help with the show this year.
We could use our help today.
Absolutely. So let's.
We were just talking about our past almost wins.
Let's talk about a little more of the decade, and then we'll get into our Christmases and stuff.
All right.
We were debating beforehand the TV show of the decade. It has to be either Game of Thrones or Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
Correct?
Yes. Here's the thing. We were talking about this, and Katie.
Robbie would say The Bachelor.
Katie shut down Breaking Bad, which. I get it because Game of Thrones, obviously, to create it, it's different.
Yes.
And that's probably the, and I get that because it's more fantastic, if that makes any sense, right? But I do think that Breaking Bad was more widely consumed and watched. Now, people might have been more passionate about Game of Thrones, but I think people are like, I don't want to watch dragons and dwarfs or whatever.
Well, Breaking Bad spawned a very successful prequel. Now, I know Game of Thrones is having a prequel, too. At least there's rumors of that. I think it's official now. And also, Game of Thrones, by the nature of it being a fantasy show, you get this whole cottage industry of action figures and autograph sessions.
Yeah.
I mean, if you were on Game of Thrones for one season, you're going to make money signing autographs. No one from Breaking Bad is going to an autograph thing. Probably not.
You might be right, but what have you seen more of people from Breaking Bad going on to do other projects? I just saw Jesse in this movie, American Woman. It was awesome. And, of course, Bryan Cranston's in everything, right?
Well, so,
you're saying Bryan Cranston's not an A-lister?
I'm saying Cranston already had a career going in.
No, he did. He did.
Yeah.
But I think his star certainly risen.
No, of course. Yes. But the biggest name on Game of Thrones was he died in season one.
Yeah, you mean
actor.
Right.
Yeah.
And like Jon Snow, what's he doing? I haven't heard his name.
Well, you know, Daenerys or whatever, she's done a million things, they've all bombed.
Yeah, nobody gives a shit.
Yeah.
Unless you be naked.
Yes,
I mean, that's apparently what we're interested in. Yeah. If she was smart, she'd be like, hey, do you have anything with dragons?
Right.
Where my top's off? That's what people pretend to like me for.
I would say that.
Hey, one more thing before you go. Continue. The Mandalorian, that guy's from Game of Thrones.
Yes.
Nobody knows who he is, and Katie thinks he's ugly.
I know. So, if you're watching this show, this doesn't spoil anything, but at one point, for the first time ever, he takes his helmet off, and you see what he looks like. Now, of course, he's just been shot, so he's supposed to look, you know.
Disheveled,
yeah. Weathered, not his best. And Katie's like, oh, he's so ugly. I'm like, this guy, like, his character on Game of Thrones was cast that everybody wanted to fuck him. He was that hot, men and women. Like, he would just bang anything.
I can't
remember
his name.
He was so beautiful. Remember he got crushed?
Yeah, oh, yeah, skull got crushed by the mountain. Spoiler alert if you haven't
seen. He's also in Narcos, I believe.
Yeah, I watched the first season of Narcos. I liked it, but I didn't go back.
I need to catch up.
I'm currently watching Succession. Sorry,
it's between those two shows, I think.
I don't think there's a third one that enters the conversation.
I mean, Sopranos and The Wire were previous.
Yep.
The Office sort of goes in the middle. You had the Netflix shows, House of Cards.
All right, here we go. Most popular shows of the 2010s.
Mm-hmm.
The first two.
Yeah.
Game of Thrones, Breaking Bad.
I mean, Mad Men.
Yeah, Mad Men.
There.
And, of course, you think about Mad Men, but you're right. It's a third.
Mm-hmm.
It says Parks and Rec. So once you start with The Americans, The Fleabag. I love Fleabag, but yeah.
Yeah, it's between those two. I'm going to say Breaking Bad.
Yeah, well, the first show that's shown is Game of Thrones.
I mean, I get that. But Breaking Bad. Look, Game of Thrones, that's the most anticipated finale. I think maybe more than Breaking Bad.
The Game of Thrones?
Yeah.
I think it's you got recency bias.
You're right. But the Mount Rushmore of anticipated series finales is The Sopranos, Breaking Bad, Game of Thrones, and what else? You agree with those three?
Yeah, no, that's you're right.
Mm-hmm.
You mean you're just talking about all time?
Yes.
Yeah, The Wire is way up there for me. Do people not agree with that?
No, but I there wasn't some lingering who's going to take over, who's going to die. Because with The Sopranos, does Tony Soprano die? With Breaking Bad, does Walter White die? And Game of Thrones, who has the Iron Throne? Where with The Wire, it just, I don't know if there was this carrot hanging out there where it was like, does this happen? You know what I mean?
Yeah, this list isn't going to do much for me that I'm scrolling through because I don't see where Breaking Bad is. Although J.L. Covan would love this list because Veep is number two.
Well, I never watched it, but it's...
Better Call Saul sixth.
Okay.
I don't know what I'm doing wrong here. There's no way Breaking Bad isn't on the list. Maybe what the fuck's wrong with this?
What's the exact...
It says 25 best shows of the decade.
Did Breaking Bad technically start in the last decade? Is that the the catch?
Did it? Yeah. Maybe. You figure it would qualify that because there's no... It's not on this list, and I'm pretty sure that... for example, Happy Valley is not better than Breaking Bad.
What's the... we talk about scandals. Is the Penn State scandal? That's got to be...
Was that this decade?
Maybe it wasn't. Happy Valley made me think of that.
Sandusky. Hey, I've already looked up Jared Vogel today. Fogel, sorry. Now I'm looking up Jerry Sandusky. Oh, I looked up the wrong Jerry Sandusky. I looked up my Jerry Sandusky. We've talked about that before. Conviction, 2012. Yeah, that's got to be huge.
But he was convicted. When did, the whole Penn State, the scandal break? When did Paterno die?
Well.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
What's the movie of the decade?
Hmm.
That seems harder.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of like any events. Is it Avengers? Probably Avengers, right?
I think the movie Endgame. Event of the decade is.
You mean the
Endgame.
Best movie or the movie
we
event?
We can do either one.
Because there's been the last Harry Potter was fucking gigantic.
Yeah.
But Endgame will be the highest grossing film of all time. So, and even you saw it. You see like one movie in the theater.
I saw two in the theater. Once Upon a Time in Hollywood and Endgame.
Did you like them both?
I did.
I saw Precious Uncut Gems.
And?
Here's the thing. It was very, very good. Yeah. I liked it, but it's one of those movies where from the moment it starts, you're stressed.
It's a pressure cooker.
So, and it doesn't necessarily relieve you of that stress. So, you know.
Maybe it's better to watch at home where you can take some breaks.
Yeah. I mean,
I'm intrigued by it. All right, so.
By the way, real quick,
Jerry
Sandusky maintained an office at the university until 2011, so clearly that did happen this decade.
Yeah. Yeah, I would hope so.
He was abusing young boys from 1994 to 2009.
All right, let's move on from that. Sorry,
Robbie. You don't want to keep talking about that?
I don't want to keep talking. Robbie's going to edit this out to about an 8-minute episode.
It's hey, real quick, I was on the...
Oh, you have a child? I
actually do. So I'm on the air with Kirk.
Yeah.
Kirk McEwen. Mm-hmm. I'm filling in for Marianne Sirk. I'm doing Afternoon Drive. And Kirk has a story about a friend of his who's canceling Christmas. His kid's so bad that he's like, okay, he's not going to get any Christmas presents, so he knows there's consequences for his action. He's kicking the teacher. He's spitting on kids. He's a bad kid, right?
Yeah.
So they're like, I can't remember what the subject was, but have you ever canceled Christmas? And I'll tell you a funny thing real quick, which I thought I really loved. This one guy said what he would do is wrap a bunch of boxes under the tree, but nothing in them. You see where I'm going with this? And every single time a kid would act up, he would take one of the boxes, he'd throw it in the fireplace.
Ooh.
So this kid's like, okay, so I better act
strong.
Yeah. Maybe traumatized him or whatever, but it would make you shape up.
Yeah, it would.
Agreed? Okay.
Yeah, I like
it. So was that. But anyway, we're on the air and we're saying, have you ever canceled Christmas? And there were some funny stories about getting coal and blah, blah, blah. And this guy calls up and goes, hey, I see that behavior. That could mean sexual abuse.
Ooh.
Now, of course, Kirk was telling the story that a friend of his had done this. So basically, this guy was saying, your friend is sexually abusing his kid, right? And it was me.
And now let's hear Pearl Jam, not Eat Rock.
Yeah, it was super awkward, but... Kirk, he handled it like a pro. I panicked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just moving on. Change the subject. Lamar Jackson's great.
Yeah. No. I was like, this is the child molest hour.
Google the top movies of the decade.
All right.
Because I think critical acclaim, it's not going to be some superhero movie.
Top movies.
Although I think the Marvel, if you just talk about pop culture, the Marvel takeover of cinema is a huge thing of the decade.
All right, so when I see the ones that they list, none of them, like when I think of like events, I'm thinking like Pulp Fiction, right?
Yeah,
like something that
Forrest Gump,
right? Yes. Mm-hmm. All came out the same year, Shawshank Redemption, but
Titanic
movies, yeah, you're right. Anyway, here's what it has. Mad Max Fury Road is the first one mentioned.
I mean, it was very I like the movie.
Mm-hmm. Moonlight,
didn't see it.
The Social Network.
That was a very good movie.
It was awesome.
Yes.
Get Out.
Yeah. Good movie.
It was. It also was a was different.
Yeah.
You know?
It'll... Yeah, no, I think that's a...
Lady Bird, Inception,
I didn't see it.
Call Me By Your Name, Roma. Yeah, none of these... The Godfather didn't come out this decade. But
no.
These are good movies. I like a lot of them. La La Land, Black Panther, and the first black superhero to make $1 billion or whatever.
I mean, the superhero movies dominated.
There's a Star Wars came out.
Yeah. The rebirth of the Star Wars movies was big for the decade.
The Irishman.
I think, though, we were talking earlier, in terms of what's different now than 10 years ago, in terms of impacting your life, streaming networks, television.
Yeah.
Netflix,
when you turn
Amazon.
The TV on, what's the first thing you get? What's your go-to? Sports?
In the morning, I either watch... a sports thing or Food Network.
Not in the morning. You go to sports, right? I guess it depends on what happened the day before.
It depends on if they're talking about something I want to hear about or I don't want to hear about. If it's a Monday after a football Sunday.
Yeah. If I'm home, I work from home today.
Okay.
So, of course, I just watch the NFL Network because I want to hear them talk about Lamar Jackson, which, by the way, they didn't. I don't know if they were trying to
do. Well, he didn't play, so...
Yeah, but you can talk about the Ravens.
Yeah, but other things happen. They just, you watch Good Morning Football? I do.
I love Good Morning Football. Yeah, What's the name of that girl on it? That's
Kay Adams. I like
man,
her.
Man, she's my 1A.
She posted at Jimmy's Seafood not that long ago when they were in Baltimore for whatever.
She's hot?
Yeah.
She knows a lot about football.
Yeah, she's cool.
And she's cool, right?
Yeah.
Like she's one of the guys.
She dated a former player. Or a current
really?
Player.
You mean she wouldn't be interested in me in case
Well,
Katie
he's
dies.
Not a big guy.
Kicker?
All right.
Matt Stover?
He is white.
Okay.
And he's
that
a
helps me.
Wide receiver who still plays in the league.
Cooper Kupp?
Nope. He's been in the league longer than that.
Jimmy Amendola?
Well, his Danny, name is Danny,
Danny
Amendola,
Danny,
and that
Danny.
Is correct. Yes.
Oh, really?
Yes.
He's good looking.
Yeah,
Danny,
he's
Danny.
A good looking guy.
Yes.
I mean, Jimmy, she's like 5'2". She's not gonna...
I confused Jimmy Garoppolo right, and Danny Amendola.
Well, Garoppolo's a very handsome man.
He is.
Katie would think he's ugly. Cause...
No, he's dating like some stripper, porn star, or whatever. Would you, if you were, okay, you're rich and famous, Tawanda, she dies.
Okay.
Okay?
Why can't we just break up?
No, she's dead. would you date a stripper?
I believe my days of that being intriguing to me
if it's
are
made
over.
Available to you.
Date or have sex with?
Date. She's your girlfriend.
No, I don't want
Neither
that.
Would I.
No, not interested.
I mean, but of course, you know me. I might be like, well, I'd like to have sex with this stripper.
Yeah.
And then next thing you know, I fall in love with her. You know what I mean? And then she is my girlfriend. You know what I mean?
What are you, a girl? You have sex once and now you're in love?
Yes.
So, what were we talking about? Oh.
Dating a stripper.
No, so that's the event of the decade was, you know what? I forgot. My Mount Rushmore, I'm gonna take out the murder mystery and throw in going to Christmas Tebow's birthday party at Millstream.
That probably hits the top 100.
That was the biggest moments of his decade. what is Christmas Tebow's Mount Rushmore of the decade? Starting five-plated clothing, although on his t-shirts it says founded in 1986, the year he was born.
Jeez, he thought of it at birth.
Exactly.
He came out of the vaginal canal. And he's speaking of dating strippers. You know, Christopher Stevo would date a stripper.
Of course, he would.
He would only exclusively date strippers. By the way, why do I look at this? So I googled top movies of the best movies of the decade. They have Moonlight at number one. I liked Moonlight, but it wasn't the best movie of the decade. I liked it though. There's one great scene. Have you seen Moonlight?
No, I haven't.
There's one really powerful scene, mm-hmm. but then Under the Skin 2 is second. Certified Copy 3. Never heard of Certified Copy. The Act of Killing, never heard of it. I mean, are they just trying to be fucking cool? Inside Llewyn Davis, that's the Coen Brothers. Maybe I should check that out. Holy Motors, don't know it. God, look at who is this hipster? Carol, don't know it. The Master, I know it, but I didn't see it. I guess I should.
What was your personal sports fan highlight of the decade, and what was the biggest moment of the decade, sports-wise?
All right, let me think. So... Only one of my teams won a title.
Yeah.
The Ravens weren't my team, although I was, you know, I rooted for the Ravens, but they weren't my team. My team were the Washington Redskins. My team now is the Baltimore Ravens. I've actually broken up, although they fired Bruce Allen today, which
that does help.
They're chipping away at trying to win me back.
But you're also work for the team. Well, and you're more. You're part of the family in some capacity.
I cover the team, right? Yeah. So, yes, I would
say. You're more close to it.
Yeah. So, I honestly.
So, this season counts, is what I'm saying. No lie.
Yes, it was really exciting when the Caps won the the Stanley Cup. But this season is the biggest sports moment for me this year. The Ravens season. Lamar Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this decade, right? What Lamar Jackson has done.
I think that's fair.
You know, I was talking about that on the air. Robbie's going to cut this out, too. It's going to be a five-minute show. But right now, I'm not a player. I'm a fan.
Yeah.
So what I have, if they lost their first game of the playoffs, I'd be disappointed. But this season would still, everything I needed it to be, it was. Everything I needed it to be. Not everything I wanted it to be. But they won 14 games. They revolutionized the sport, as they said that they were going to. They had a revolutionary offense. This player that he had to win you over. He had to win me over.
Right.
He won me over before he won you over. But little by little, he had to, and then he won the world over. He really did. He won the world over. There might be some stalwarts. There might be some people that are still hanging around out there. But, you know, at the beginning of the year, I mean, it isn't just guys like me and you talking, you know, to a couple thousand people at a podcast. You know, there was big time Jason Whitlock. I mean, there's big time people that cover this league that say, well, this guy can't play. And there was also an argument to be made that he couldn't.
Well, by his own admission, he says he couldn't through a spiral last year.
Yeah.
He said that he went and worked on it.
Well, you know, it's so funny.
I mean, part of people's skepticism was because he had a really rough end of the year last year.
Well, unlike what J.L. Covan thinks, you watched him play.
Yes.
And you formed your opinion based on watching
him.
Right. So, you know, when he was in preseason, he wasn't a good football player.
And you formed your opinion on guys before him that were known more for running and how they played in the league.
Yeah, right. Well, there is a he had to break the mold.
Yes.
He had to do something that no one else has ever been able to do. Although I really nailed some things, which, you know, I mean, I guess I can brag about them on here. The beginning of the season, I said that Lamar Jackson would rush for 1,000 yards. Everybody on the station, including Jerry Sandusky, said, no, that wouldn't happen.
And he got it.
He didn't. He rushed for 1,200 or whatever. So,
and that's having rest for like 1 yard in the first game.
How about 6 yards? Yeah, but or three. I think it's three. But how about that? Why did I need to correct you there? Anyway, but your point should have been taken.
Yes.
In addition to that, I said, well, they're going to lead the league in time of possession.
Yep.
And they're going to be the number one rushing team in the league. Now, I didn't think that was the 1,000-yard prediction was the biggest of the three.
Well, being number one in something is hard. Being in top five is, yeah, sure, but one, that's, come on.
Well, yeah, one thing that you learned over the course of the season is, yes, they have this generational player that's playing in a different way than nobody's ever played like this before.
Right.
People have run the ball more than they passed it, but there's never been this dynamic a runner at the quarterback position who also is pretty damn good at throwing the football.
Yeah.
But I remember when they were 4-5 and they were benching Flacco to start Lamar Jackson. I said, oh, well, they're throwing the season away because I'd already had conversations of whether or not they thought that was a wasted draft pick based on how he played in the preseason. A lot of fans will be like, well, if you weren't with him from the beginning, well, no. I mean,
it's such a weird thing.
It is a dumb thing to say, right? I was literally basing what I thought on what I saw.
Yeah.
J.L. Covan won't allow me to do that on Twitter. You're not allowed to base your opinion
on
what
you see. J.L. Covan on Twitter battles constantly, and they never end with anybody.
Well, my problem is this.
Well, I don't want to get it.
No, I'm going to say this about in general, not about the argument. I will give concessions. I will.
Yes.
This is possibly or a variable, but he'll consider nothing. Everything happens in a vacuum. It makes me fucking crazy. Right? You don't consider anything else. And in this case, just like with Lamar Jackson, it's actually something that I saw happening.
Yes.
And I'm not allowed to have my own opinion about what I saw. So back to Lamar
Jackson. Shout out to JL. He said, and I predict this, he will be bringing back his podcast, The Righteous Prick, in 2020. So I have a feeling you'll be brought up.
Yes. Unless it's filled with apologies. I'm not listening.
You'll listen.
I know.
Because he's going to mention you.
Yeah. Yes. I just fast forward till I hear my name. No, but so I said, well, they're throwing the season away. By the way, it's possible they were doing that.
Yes.
It's possible.
Well,
now,
yeah.
They had, right. I mean, obviously, you don't say, hey, we're giving up on the season, but what you could say is that this quarterback.
Pivoting to next year.
Which is strange because it's part of my J.L. Covan argument I'm having with Joker. This quarterback is not going to get us where we need to get.
Right.
So we have to start thinking about the future. We drafted a quarterback. We got to see what this guy is. Sometimes you see that and you don't win any games. But in this case, they had the luxury of an easy schedule, right? So he had an opportunity to kind of grow.
Ease into it.
Right, ease into it. And then he got to grow as a player or whatever, and then at the very end, he ended up losing it. He only lost two games the whole time that he was quarterbacking. But the point is that at the time, I said, oh, they're deciding that this season is lost and they're playing now for the future. Well, guess what? I was wrong about that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And Paul Bittermeier said, well, what about Paul Bittermeier's another sports guy on 90 Rock? He goes, what about last year when everybody said that and then they were playing for the playoffs in the last game of the season? I'm like, okay, you can't take outliers and then use them as the norm, and then that's exactly what happened. They finished 6-1 the rest of the way.
Get this. Everybody said this. Hey, if you knew, are you rich? Why aren't you betting on all this?
Was like, well, right, and sometimes you get it right and sometimes you get it wrong.
But the whole nature of it is that it's unpredictable. Otherwise, Vegas wouldn't make money off sports betting.
Right.
It's hard to predict. Nobody knows what's going to happen.
It's also okay for you to have been wrong.
Yes.
And then for you to say, oh, wow, I was wrong about that.
But you're going to be wrong more than right because it's hard to predict. I will say for me, I had three titles in the decade. Ohio State, one in football. I think it was 2014.
I had a fantasy football championship.
Yes, you did. Yeah. I had the Capitals and then the Nationals this past year. So that's I'll take three a decade.
That's a pretty good decade. Yeah. I mean, now there was a time back in the late 80s, very early 90s when the Redskins were a highly competitive team.
Yeah.
I miss those days.
Those were
the Orioles were very competitive in the 70s and 80s too.
Yeah. Terps, good basketball.
Yeah, but right now I have the Ravens. I have the Caps. Caps are really good too.
The Orioles are nothing right
Orioles
now.
Are horrible. Terps are not very, they're ranked, but they're not a very good team.
You don't have a lot of confidence.
No, I don't. I hate the coach. Mm-hmm.
I would say that the Capitals was probably the big one because they've broken my heart the longest, the most times.
They had never won one.
And DC had suffered for so long, so there was part of that. The other teams losing factored in enjoying that.
Are you a bigger baseball fan or a bigger hockey fan?
It's a very good question because the Nationals run in terms of just the season and the playoffs and then kept coming back was, you know, more awesome.
It's also similar to the Ravens.
And it was game seven.
In that, you know, the Ravens were 2-2 and then they reeled off 12 straight wins. I can't remember what the Nationals record was, but it was so
they're 19-31.
Yeah.
I was, speaking of being wrong, I was one of the guys that was saying maybe we should trade Max Scherzer.
Well, I mean, how can you predict that you're going to turn a season?
But I would have been okay with that. Now, that's stupid now, obviously.
Well, everything in hindsight, right?
But I would say just because the Caps were the first to break through for DC. In terms of the decade, I mean, of all sports, is Michael Phelps' Olympic career, is that?
Was that in this decade? I don't know. I don't give a shit about that.
He had three Olympics in this. Two.
I don't get excited about swimming. I'm glad it happened. I watched it.
What do you want? The Patriots winning another Super Bowl?
Well, no, I don't want the Patriots winning another Super Bowl.
But, I mean, what is the sports highlight of the decade?
Well, for me, it sure as fuck isn't the Patriots.
Right.
Maybe their team plane went down. But not them winning another Super Bowl. Yeah, it's weird. I don't. People love greatness. I don't, unless it's my own team.
Is it the Cleveland Cavaliers winning with LeBron?
I don't give a shit about that.
Okay, but that's pretty big.
The Mystics? Is it the Mystics?
No, you're comparing those two? LeBron James?
Oh, yeah. The Mystics was
your favorite player of all time? The guy you think is the greatest player of your lifetime?
He's not my favorite player of all time, but I do think he's the best player. I think he's the best player ever.
Okay. Well, that's winning in Cleveland, who hadn't won in forever.
Do you think that there
is on the Mount Rushmore sports moments of the decade?
So how many people are in the how many people are on the planet? It's like 6 billion. What is it?
Sure. I don't know.
Something like that. What are the chances that there's somebody who's never picked up a basketball that's better than LeBron would be if with proper training better than LeBron James? Is it a sure thing?
You would think just
yeah. I'm looking at how many people are in the world. See if I nailed it. 7.5. I was only off by 1.5 for
$1 billion.
That's it.
That's a rounding error. Should we, let's take a break. You want to wrap it up with our own personal Christmas?
Sure, let's do it.
Rob and Joe Show. Be right back. Our Patreon, folks. Let's pump this baby up. Patreon.com/Rob and Joe Show. We delve deep. We tell some inside stories, some things that we don't really want out there, but are entertaining, clearly, about our lives. We share. It's a trust tree.
It definitely is a trust tree. We have been let down on one occasion, but for the most part, people really do respect the Patreon.
Yes.
And I will say this. What is it? $5?
Yeah, you can get as little as $5. You pay a little more, you get some free things. Like we had, I believe, Sharon Bailey got tickets to a murder mystery for being an excellent patron.
Yeah, sure. And that costs way more than what the Patreon costs, right? So,
yes.
But the thing is that if you even are on the fence or considering it, give it a shot. See, see if we're telling the truth about there being things that you can't. Because I think if you sign up, you can go back and listen to all the episodes.
You
right?
get them all.
You can kind of timeline it. Some of the stuff's out now that, you know, like me interviewing for the sports position on 98 Rock.
Yeah, that happened.
And how, yeah, that didn't work out. But there's a lot of things that we really pull the curtain back on, and it's real. Things that we definitely can't share. And again, I can't reiterate how much we have to trust our listenership to keep that stuff under wraps.
Tequila.
You went to Katie's parents, I'm guessing?
Well, I went to Katie's parents. Yeah, so two stories. First of all, I went to my sister's for Christmas Eve.
Okay.
We played this game. Everybody bought 3 scratch-offs.
All right.
There was like 10 of us. There was like 30 scratch-offs. Might even been more than that.
I'm intrigued.
Of course, I bought all the scratch-offs for my family, so.
Of course.
They don't. So that was 12 scratch-offs, at $12 that I had to pay. But
gotcha.
Anyway.
Seems unfair.
And you rolled these dice, and it was, you know, it might say left, you got to give one to the left. It might say right. It might say wild, where you can grab one. It might say center, where you got to put one in the middle. But it tells you what to do, and you keep going around and around until no one has any, only one person has all the, either there's only one person with, what do you call it, scratch-offs left.
So one person gets them all?
One person.
How long does this take?
It might have taken
15
minutes.
7 hours.
It might have taken 15 minutes. It might have taken less than that. Here's what happened. My sister, son, my nephew, he rolled the dice. One of the dice went off the table.
Oh, no.
But the other
dice. Was Robbie there?
The other dice.
He's a rules stickler.
I don't remember what happened with Robbie. The other dice was on the table. She made him roll both dice over. He rolled it. He would have won. He would have won all of them.
That's Christmas controversy. He'll never get
over it. He never said. I would have fucking lost my mind if I was his age.
How old is he?
I think he's like 14.
Yeah, he should have.
So I give him some credit. I'll give him some credit. By the way, I end up winning.
Of course you do.
It was $8 is what I got back in return.
For how many tickets?
I probably, it's either, what, 30, 33, 36, something like that.
How much would you have sold them for?
Oh, you mean just like, here's my chances?
Yeah.
$10.
No.
No?
Well, because what's $10 do for you? Nothing. But you could hit something real.
1,000 is the most you can win.
Okay. Wouldn't you rather just have a chance at $1,000 than $10?
Well, let me say this. I hear what you're saying.
Yeah.
So, you know, we do, for the home games, Doug Lloyd, who's the head of the Maryland Lottery, comes and he does a, matter of fact, came to one of our murder mysteries.
Cool. You like it?
He loved it. Brought his wife. She had sex with him that night. That part I don't know.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, but he comes every home game and does a little break about whatever their latest scratch-off is, right? Mm-hmm. And every time he comes, he gives me and Kirk scratch-offs.
Well, that's cool.
Every time. Now, I just won the most I ever won this last time. The most, it's the biggest biggest prize I've ever won doing a scratch off. How much was it?
$25.
It was $3. And I probably scratched 100 of these things, okay? Now,
so you don't have a lot of confidence in your scratch off game.
Well, let me say this, when I scratch it off and it's a dollar, you know what I do?
You frame it.
I throw it in the garbage. I'm not going to a Royal Farm. Waiting in line, I throw in the garbage. I'm
right.
Like, yes, I'm not. I can't spend it. It's work.
Gotcha.
What's your time worth? Is it worth a dollar?
Oh, well, it's not part of your regular routine to go to Royal Farms, and yes.
That's the other thing.
Yeah.
When every once in a while the jackpot will get up to like, you know, $600 million or whatever, and we'll do an office thing, everybody will contribute a couple bucks, we'll buy a bunch of tickets, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then the drawing will happen, and I'll have like, you know, every time you hit the Powerball, you get $2. And I'll have that stack of things, and it'll be like, you know, $4, $5 worth of or $7 worth of stuff. You know what right. I do with those?
Throw them away.
I throw them in the garbage.
I had a Best Buy gift card for $50. I bought this thing. It was like $47.25. And there was this whole thing because he couldn't enter it right to get to still have money on the card. I was like, I don't care. Like, this is it. I'm using it once. This is what I'm getting out of it. I'm not going to bring it up for $2.18 to put towards something else.
So you just threw it in the garbage?
Actually, it's in my car, but I don't know. It's in my console.
You know what I did with the... Now, this isn't really super altruistic because it really helped me, but those scratch-offs, you know, there's a homeless lady that I always talk about at the Dunkin' Donuts yeah. here. She was asleep at the thing, but I put the scratch-offs on her.
Oh, look at
her.
You.
Well, I mean, it's not really that big of a deal because... Yeah. The alternative is I would have thrown him in the garbage. Now she has a job to do.
What if she threw him out? What am I going to do with this?
By the way, she's deaf, but I've never heard her speak. Huh. I think she can't speak. Maybe it's because she can't hear herself and whatever.
Okay.
So I don't even know if she'll be able to pull this off.
Well, you did your part.
She might. I might have caused her more trouble.
You might have, yes.
Yeah, she gets in, they arrest her. Yeah.
So Christmas Day, did you get any good gifts?
Yeah, so let's talk about that too. So last year... I think we discussed this. I got my sister-in-law. I got her like a gift card to some restaurant.
Yeah.
Yeah, here you go. Here's some tacos or whatever.
Mexican restaurant.
Mother-in-law got me. She gave me, we've talked, it's at this point, it's historical. Mm-hmm. She gave me a set of luggage. She gave me a Roomba. She gave me an iPad. No lie.
Yeah.
Right. Sweaters, all kinds. She gave me every, right.
She goes for it.
Yeah. And I, you know, so this year I drew her brother. And I got him a USGA pullover.
No, he's a golf fan?
Big golf fan.
Mm-hmm.
Medium. He likes to wear his shit tight.
Nice, sexy.
So that's what I got him. Her mother got me a trip to Disney World. So
your dream. You ever been?
Yes, I have been. I've been twice. Kids? I've been twice with both families, yes.
You ever been by yourself? Just
never.
Dudes?
No, I didn't just show up one day by myself. But this isn't a third family. I went with Katie. Next, now I'll be going with her family.
Okay.
But here's the thing.
With Frank?
Frank will be there, yes.
Hello?
We're talking about we're going to be trying to get Frank to wear like matching outfits. He's going to lose his shit. But yeah, it's seven adults. Is that right? No, sorry. Six adults, two children.
Okay.
Six adults, two children.
And it's a week trip or is it a...
Yeah, it's a week.
What is it? How many parks are at the Disney? I don't even know.
Oh,
anymore.
Man, there's, you know... Katie's, by the way, I was looking
at... Katie's already got the itinerary.
Dude.
It's in November, right? She told me.
It's in November.
Yeah.
It's the week before Thanksgiving. She has it all set up. Excel spreadsheet, everything. Yeah, it's all set up. So...
Is there going to be a Baby Yoda attraction?
Man, they fucked up if they don't, because I'll go to that. But let me tell you something else, and then I'll let you tell me about your Christmas.
It's not going to be as interesting.
So,
Disney.
I did the Purple Power Hour. Again, with Hayden Hurst.
Okay.
And you'll know...
What is the Purple Power Hour?
That's where you talk to a Raven the day after the game.
Okay.
Okay? And away games, you talk to Hayden Hurst, and home games, you talk to Jarrett Johnson.
Okay, cool.
Okay? And Jarrett Johnson, you know, I've talked to him 1,000 times. Hayden Hurst, I just talked to him a second time, but as you know, we've discussed it on here.
You're BFF.
It's my man crush. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and I'm playing the long con. I want him to
like
me.
And you talk to them in person at a... At a bar or something?
No, I direct messaged him twice. Now.
No, I mean the show. He's the lie. He's not on
yeah,
the
no,
phone.
Yeah, he's sitting next to me. Right. He's sitting next to me. Right. So I'm trying to, I want to be this guy's friend.
Yeah.
Okay. Now he's not 22. I think he's 26 or 27.
Well, you have luck with younger people.
Right. But I have a young girlfriend.
Yeah.
He knows I'm a comedian. He knows that I'm a radio personality. Like I'm trying to appear like I'm happening. He doesn't know that I'm not.
Sure.
Right, he might think I'm somebody. He doesn't know that I'm not. Right.
This work with Katie. Yeah.
So that's the next thing. But anyway, he brought his mom and dad with him this time.
Okay, that's good for the relationship. You can meet the parents.
So I definitely was saying, oh, I know your mom. She's a do-gooder. I follow her on Twitter. By the way, I didn't. I had to follow her afterwards. I lied to him anyway. And so she actually at the end is like, oh, I like this guy. So good.
Oh,
work, right.
Huge.
I'm working hard. But I thought I fucked up.
Oh no.
So. He said, yeah, my sister's coming in for Thanksgiving. I go, oh, what'd you get her? I go, oh, does she listen? Can you tell us what you got her? He goes, no, she listens. I go, oh, okay, well, give us some hints. I go, can you wear it? He goes, no. Kirk goes, can you throw it? Can you sign it? You know, like he's a signed football.
Yeah.
Anyway, I go, he goes, no, it's more.
Oh, boy, this is his sister we're talking about, Joe.
Yeah, he goes, it's more for, you know, something around the house. I go, would you buy her a vacuum? And then Kirk goes, And I thought I was the one that said this. Okay. Kurt goes, would you get her a Roomba? And he made his face like, oh, like you blew it. But when I saw that, I remembered it as me being the one who ruined the surprise, right?
But it's really Kirk.
I didn't, but here's the problem. The problem is I took blame for it.
Oh, no.
Because I direct messaged him again and said, hey, dude, sorry about ruining the surprise. It was a total accident. He goes, don't worry, she wasn't listening. Whew. But then I played it back on the pregame.
Yeah.
It was Kirk. Kirk was the one that, so I took the blame. I never should have. Kirk was the one that.
That's all good.
Well, yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
But anyway, I feel like that solidified our relationship.
What do you do if he hits on Katie? He doesn't know that.
I'll beat the fuck out of him.
No, he doesn't know that she's your wife.
Hey, he won the I'll be flattered, right?
Yeah.
Unless she fucks him. That's what I can't have happen, right?
Does that ruin your relationship with Hayden Hurst? Or who does that ruin which relationship?
I'm never going to be his friend. That's going to really fuck up my chance to be his friend. That's funny because every girl that sees him is like, oh, that guy, I want to fuck that guy, right? Yeah. Yeah. I can't say the names, but you and I know people. Like, Oh, yeah.
I can guess. Like, Tawanda.
Oh, that guy. Definitely that guy. But yeah, no, he's cool. But it's funny because, you know, there was that story about him seeing that girl in the airplane. He tweeted out. He's like, hey, whoever you were, I couldn't catch up with you. So I asked him about that. And he was saying, I really don't have time to date during the regular season.
I get it.
Because I'd love to.
I mean, I don't get it, but I mean, I guess it makes sense. Because
Katie has some hot cousins who are single.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, man, if somehow I could set one of them up with Hayden Hurst, because he's also like a good guy. So, I mean, you know.
But do Katie's cousins deserve him?
No.
Well, then why would you do that to Hayden?
Because, well, they're hot.
Okay.
So. No, of course they don't deserve him, right? He's a millionaire, NFL football player who does deserve him, right? But yeah, if somehow I can pull that off, then I'm like, wow, this guy was a good guy. He was cool, right?
Well, the one cousin.
He likes my parents.
Yeah.
He got me my girlfriend.
Yeah.
You know.
You're in there. Next thing you know. You're at the wedding.
It's me,
you
him.
You could be the best man.
Mark Andrews. We're all just hanging out.
What are you going to talk about?
Yeah. Hey, what'd you guys do today? Oh, we had practice, blah, blah, blah. Oh, I was in a cubicle.
I felt super old at McGoobies. I went to see Shane Gillis and this female comic, local girl, Josie Marcelino.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying it right. And she mentions that Shane looks a little bit like Patrick Warburton. I don't know how you say it.
Yeah, Putty from
Right. And Seinfeld. She's listing his accomplishments. She mentions some voiceover stuff he's done and that he...
He's the voice of the guy in the wheelchair on Family Guy.
Right. She mentions that. She mentions that he was on Rules of Engagement. I go, Putty from Seinfeld. She goes, Seinfeld? I don't know that. I'm like, okay, that is his biggest credit. You realize that is... She goes, what's that on Nickelodeon? I'm like, how old am I? Like, are you really Seinfelding me? That's like I Dream of Jeannie or something?
I mean, yeah, I mean, you don't know that Ted Danson was on Cheers. You
right.
You know, from Curb.
But she's 24, so maybe Seinfeld is like ancient to her.
You know what? It is.
It is, I guess.
Let me tell you something. I went to see Jerry Seinfeld in Atlanta. My brother was living in Atlanta.
Yeah.
I think it was 1991. And the show is already out.
Yeah. Because
people were
but it
yelling
wasn't a
out.
Phenomenon yet, probably.
People were yelling out, these pretzels are making me thirsty.
Oh, nice.
So that wasn't even season one, right? That was season two? I don't know, whatever.
I don't know.
Yeah. So yeah, it is pretty old.
Yeah.
But Putty was later.
Yeah, and I think I'm just saying, if you're a fan of that guy, you should know
you're
Putty.
You're right. She still was.
You should know that Putty is.
But can I say this? I don't remember the Mary Tyler Moore Show when it aired for real, but I remember the reruns.
Yeah, I don't remember it at all.
You don't?
No, I never watched it. So I went to, we always go to Tawanda's sister's house in Virginia. It's not, it's pretty laid back, pleasant.
But is Hayden Hurst there?
He's not there, but Tawanda did buy us matching Christmas sweaters.
Yeah.
I'm wearing one.
Tawanda has the same sweater?
Yeah, but luckily we took no pictures, so I escaped. It's actually very comfortable.
Yeah, you told me that.
Yeah,
you were bragging.
Go ahead, it's soft. Go ahead.
How do I feel?
Yeah.
Oh, it is, man. Yeah.
So it's nice. But we didn't get any pictures somehow. She was mad, and I managed to not get us that cheesy couple's picture of us wearing the same stupid sweater.
As far as
Christmas sweaters goes, it's not that obnoxious.
Oh, she gave it to you before you went over, then you both had to wear it.
What's funny, she gave it to me before, and then I had a show in D.C., and the day before, the promoter was like, hey, can you do – we're going to do an ugly Christmas sweater outfit thing. And then I wore it, and then I was like, yeah, this is actually a nice sweater. This is one of my nicest sweaters. I'm not really like, this is actually like, this isn't me wearing an ugly sweater. This is, so I got to get a couple uses out of it. Now I'm wearing it today at your house.
I've never seen you wear a sweater before.
I don't wear a lot of sweaters, but it's my new thing now. I'm into sweaters.
All right. You want to wrap this thing up?
Yeah, happy New Year, everybody. We have a show at McGooby's Joke House.
Yeah, but they're not going to, I mean.
No, but we'll talk about it. I'm sure there'll be some hijinks.
I think it's going to be packed.
I think so, too. I'm excited about
it. What do you think, we'll hit 250?
I think so.
Me, too.
But you know what I was thinking about as we say goodbye? It is pretty ballsy of us to do a show we've never done before as a New Year's Eve show. It's one thing to do a first show like we usually do at the Ram's Head in Annapolis on a Tuesday night in August.
Yeah, but what choice do we have? It's a New Year's Eve show. We can only do it on New Year's.
I'm saying we could have done a different show that we've already done. I'm saying I like that we have the balls to do this, but it is,
can I say,
it's not
this?
The most prudent thing.
We've only had, in my opinion, two shows that didn't work the first time. That didn't work the first time we did them. Do you know what they were?
Newly Dead Game?
Yeah, and that's one of our best. Well, you say one. It's a successful show. We fixed it.
Right, and Superhero Homicide, yeah, exactly. But that's never got fixed. So
right, but those were, if I'm not mistaken, the Newly Dead Game was our second show. We fixed it. We still do it. Is that what we're doing? We're doing that?
Yeah, we're doing that January 4th, the City Winery, D.C. That's a show. Hopefully the show will be up by then.
I think the next one we did was Mary Murder Mystery, I'm pretty sure, right?
Yeah, Sing for Your Life was in there. But I think,
I thought Superhero Homicide was am I wrong?
I don't remember, to be honest.
But we've gotten better. I think, honestly, 80s, 90s, the wedding one. What am I missing? Smooth Criminal, which we can't do anymore because Michael Jackson spitting more child molestation made it in the show.
I believe that, well, we've only done the marriage one once, but we crushed it the first time.
Yeah, we nailed it.
And I think the 90s show that we've done six or seven times since, I still think the best show we did was the first one at Ramsey.
Yeah, it's a good room.
Yeah.
You should debut them all there for confidence.
So we do well our first time out because we're still trying. We haven't fucking around. So we're going to get our best effort. Hey, happy New Year. We'll see you guys in 2020.
Later.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.